Hey, this is Steve. This podcast is all about making the gospel relevant to your life. That means discovering the good news of Jesus, no matter what you're going through today. This extended episode of our podcast is our recording of our Easter Sunday morning celebration on the Gilmer High School football field. It was an incredible and beautiful day. This message is titled, Jesus Must Die. And it's about the plan of God as it works out in Jesus and as it works out in you and in me. I hope you'll listen all the way through to the very end of this longer than normal episode because we recorded our band singing one of our favorite songs right now, Hallelujah for the Cross. And at the very end, there's a special prayer that I don't normally include in the podcast episode. So listen with me as we discover why Jesus must die. You know, a year and a half before Jerusalem, a year and a half before the cross, a year and a half before the resurrection, Jesus' ministry had really gotten rolling full steam ahead. He'd become very, very, very popular. He was something of a celebrity as he had traveled around and he had been teaching like nobody else had ever taught before. Jesus was traveling and talking about the kingdom of God, and people were coming in droves to hear him in his speaking engagements. Yeah, and not only that, but they love Jesus because as we come up to that year and a half mark before the cross, Jesus completes this sequence of miracles that happened, right? He feeds thousands of people who come to hear him preach. He does notable healings and demon castings out. I mean, he does all these things. He walks on water and then he feeds thousands again. I mean, he does all these big miracles and everybody wants to see and to hear Jesus. And needing just a little bit of a break, Jesus takes his disciples off on a little trip. They head up to Caesarea Philippi. This is this little town up in the northern section of Galilee where he had become very, very famous. And it's on this trip, it's as they're arriving in Caesarea Philippi that Peter, one of his disciples, Peter, the fisherman, he makes a bold declaration about Jesus. And I'll just sing it for you. He makes this bold declaration about Jesus that nobody has ever said before. He utters words that make the rest of the disciples' eyes pop open like this. Because Jesus is asking, who do you say that I am? And everybody's got their theory. Everyone thinks that Jesus is this holy man or that holy man. Even the disciples themselves aren't sure who Jesus really is. But Peter knows. Peter has watched these miracles. He's heard the teaching. And Peter makes this bold declaration right there on that road, right as they're arriving into Caesarea Philippi. Peter says to Jesus, he says, you are the Messiah. You're the Savior, the Deliverer. Everybody else, I'm sure, was shocked by this statement. Nobody had ever said that before. Jesus had not even said that about himself. But Peter makes this bold declaration about Jesus. And Peter thinks he knows exactly what that means, you know? He thinks he knows what the Messiah is all about because the religious structure of the day has told him what the Messiah is all about, right? The Messiah is this promised deliverer. Right? The Messiah is going to show up and he is going to resurrect the nation of Israel, the nation that had been taken over by the Romans. And he was going to resurrect Israel, bringing resurrection for his people, restoring Israel, throwing off the shackles of the oppressing government, the Romans that have come in there, and restoring Israel to their place, the pinnacle of all civilizations. So that they, the holy nation, can once again speak to the world on behalf of God. The Messiah brings resurrection to his people. Yeah, that's what the structure of the day told Peter. But they only had a small view of what the Messiah really is. They thought the Messiah was going to be a military leader, that he was going to build an army, that he was going to overthrow the worldly government. The religious structure of the day had it wrong. Not like today, of course. Right? The religious structure of today, they know exactly who the Messiah is, right? Hold on a second. Have you watched television? Have you listened to some of the preachers out there today? Because the religious structure of today is not dominated by messianic theology. It's dominated by everybody be happy and healthy and wealthy. Right? I mean, if you recognize the Messiah, if you say something about Jesus, if you say that he is who you think he is, then he'll come into your life. If you just say something, he'll come into your life and he'll fix all your problems. He'll put your marriage back together. He'll make your kids behave. He'll make your bills go away. He'll pay them for you. And he'll make you healthy and you'll never have any problems to give. Everything will be better and it'll all be good. If you'll just say something about Jesus, if you'll just identify him as the Messiah in your life. That's kind of the general teaching of today. Peter identified Jesus as the Messiah, and then Jesus immediately begins to talk in a way that Peter doesn't expect. Jesus begins to describe what his plan is for Peter and for us. And it's not at all what Peter expects. In fact, Jesus gathers Peter and the disciples. He gets them and he says, okay, listen. Now that you know, here's the plan. Are you ready? Here's the plan. So Jesus begins to spell out his messianic plan for them. Jesus says, resurrection is coming. Resurrection is on its way. But first, the Son of Man must do some other things. First, the Son of Man must suffer. And the Son of Man must be rejected by the religious elite. Not only does the Son of Man have to suffer, not only must the Son of Man be rejected, but the Son of Man must die. Jesus is saying, resurrection's coming, it's coming, it's on its way, but before that, there must be, the Son of Man must suffer, be rejected, and die before resurrection happens. And Peter hates this plan. Peter can't stand this idea. This is not what Peter expected at all. Peter just wanted resurrection, it's time to restore us. But Jesus says, okay, here's the plan. Resurrection, but first, suffering, rejection, and death. Peter hates this plan. So Peter pulls Jesus aside and he reprimands Jesus. That's right, the fisherman reprimands Jesus. Jesus, you can't talk that way. Jesus, that's terrible marketing. I mean, you got an army to build. You got people that want to follow you. And this death talk, this suffering talk, this is loser talk. Nobody wants to follow a loser, Jesus. You need to focus on the resurrection. You need to focus on the happy. You need to focus on the positive. This is what you specialize in, Jesus. Focus on that. Forget this other stuff. You got to do this or you'll never build a crowd. Jesus hears Peter's reprimand. And in Mark 8, he turns to the disciples and he sees that everybody's watching this. And so Jesus, look at this, Jesus gets ugly. Jesus reprimands Peter right back. In fact, Jesus is harsher than Peter is. Jesus is uglier here than Peter is. In fact, Jesus says to Peter, he says, get away from me. And what does he call him? Satan. Jesus calls his close friend Peter Satan. And he says, Peter, you can see it right there in your verses in Mark 8. He says, Peter, you are not thinking straight. He says, you are setting your mind on the things of man, not the things of God. Peter, you have man thinking, not God thinking. You're not thinking like I want you to think. Because here's the plan, Peter, here's the plan. The purpose of God, the plan of God, it will be accomplished. In fact, this is the first blank on your page. It will be accomplished by suffering, rejection, death, and resurrection. That is the plan of God. That is the way God is going to work in the world today. And Peter, it doesn't matter if you like it or not. Because Peter, Jesus doesn't answer to you. Jesus answers to a much greater, a much bigger plan. And it's not your plan. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry. But think about it for a second. Think about it. Think about it. All of us are like Peter, aren't we? Don't we want our plan to work out our way? Don't we want it to be all about resurrection? Right? Aren't we like Peter? Don't we just want, we want the victory without the pain? We want the power without the price? Isn't that who we are? I mean, we're so into that idea that we don't even understand the plan of God. Right? I mean, we so misunderstand the plan of God that when we're going through suffering, rejection, and death, when we're going through this, we say crazy things like, God's punishing me. God's out to get me. We say crazy things that don't even make any sense in God's plan. Or we pray crazy prayers, right? God, this situation is not working out like I want it to. It's not going according to my plan. Would you please just fix it? Just fix it. Just make all the bad go away, Jesus. And we, when it comes down to it, we hate his plan. We want him to be our Messiah. We want to say something good about Jesus, but we want nothing to do with his plan in our lives at all. Think about it. If you don't like God's plan, that means you don't like God. I mean, if you're opposed to God and what he is intended to do in your life, you're opposed to God. If you're opposed to what he wants to do, you're opposed to God. And the truth of the matter is, and it's the next blank on your page, that hating God's plan makes you an enemy of God. Hating God's plan makes you an enemy of God, and all of us have become God's enemy. At one point or another, we've decided that we don't like and don't want God's plan, right? Because we want everything to go our way. We want everything to be happy and healthy and wealthy. We want to live in the sunset happily ever after. But Jesus says that God's plan will be accomplished through suffering, rejection, and death. Think about it for a second. You know what that means? That means that Pontius Pilate and the Roman soldiers and the religious elite and even Judas, they were working exactly in line with God's plan. So that brings the question to me, what bad actors in your life, what people in your life, you think they're ruining your life, you think they're destroying everything, but what bad actors in your life are actually being used by God to piece together a resurrection for you? What terrible circumstances could you be going through in your life that feel like suffering, rejection, and death, but God is using those to accomplish resurrection in your life? He's taking all of your old and he's working all those circumstances to bring something new in you. We don't like that plan. We just want the new. But the truth is that you can only be new after you're dead. Right? You can only be resurrected after you're dead. That's the only way that it works. That's God's plan for our lives. And we resist it. We chase after a different plan. The key for this whole belief system is this. Next blank on your page, one of my favorite sayings. God's plan is always better than my plan. God's plan is always better than my plan. So why are you chasing your own plan? Why do you chase after it? Why do you and I continue? Why do you and I continue to give all of our energy and our time and our resources to building my kingdom, and yet we neglect His? Why is that? We say God's plan is better than my plan, but then we live by my plan. And that makes me an enemy of God. That means I am opposed to God. I am not living out what He wants to create in me. Jesus reprimands this kind of thinking. He reprimands this kind of behavior. Jesus is willing to get ugly about it because it means that much to Him. Jesus is all about His Father's plan. That's why the very next thing that Jesus does, after He tells this to Peter, after He reprimands Peter, the very next thing is He does is He calls everybody around, everybody within earshot. Hey, come here, everybody, come here, come here, come here. Stay right here, Peter. Everybody, come here, come over here. Gather around me, gather around me. And He gathers everybody around Him. And here's what He says in Mark 8:34. He says, if any of you want to be my disciple, He says, that's not my fault, but it's going to happen. Wow. He says, if any of you wants to be my disciple, you must do what? What does it say? If you want to be my disciple, what does it say? You must, first of all, give up your own way. You want this and this only. But God says, I've got a much bigger plan for your life. You must give up your own way and take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, if you try to hang on to your plan, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, that's right, Jesus calls this the good news. If you give up your life for the sake of the good news, you will save it. If you're going to call me the Messiah, if you're going to call me the Savior, this is what your life looks like. Don't just stand there and say something about Jesus, because that's not it. Jesus says, if you're going to be my follower, you will deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Here's the big difference. Let me just show you the big difference. Without Jesus, we chase after and chase after and chase after this, but we have no hope. This doesn't exist. And without Jesus, you're still going to suffer. You're still going to be rejected, and you're still going to die. This comes with or without Jesus. The difference is that Jesus, when you're in Christ, He uses each of these to draw a much bigger, much better picture where He reveals Himself in you. He uses it for His much greater good and His much greater purpose. That's what living by faith is all about. It's about believing that, yeah, I'm going through some crud right now in my life, but all of this is far outweighed by the resurrection that He has for me. All of this is just light and momentary, and it's all going to end, but this is really going to be that much better. That's what we believe in. That's why Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and he says, this is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. They produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them all and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles that we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. But the things that we cannot see will last forever. So, Jesus must die, and so must you. Jesus must die because the path to victory is through suffering, rejection, and death. The path to power is through death. The path to overcoming is through death. The path to peace, joy, and hope, and love, it's all through death. It's all through taking up our cross and following Him. Last blank on your page is this: the path to the resurrection is the cross. That's why Paul also writes, then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, the scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Thank God he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we don't hate the plan of God. We don't hate the death and the suffering and the rejection of the death. We don't hate the cross. No, we believers, we say hallelujah for the cross.
Woo. Y'all stand. These words are on your page. It's your last song to participate. And tell Jesus, just thank you for the cross. We sing hallelujah for the cross.
Would be hopeless without your goodness. I would be desperate without your love, God. A slave to the darkness. If it wasn't for the cross,
it's true, God.
You have won. Your kind.
Hey, please be seated just for another minute. What a great, great song. I love that song that we say hallelujah for the cross. And here's what I want to say. Today, if you have never taken that step of turning your life over to Jesus, He is the one that went to that cross and He died so that you could have life. He died so that you could experience His abundance and His power. He died so that your suffering, so that your loss, so that your rejection, so that all that could matter and have purpose and have a reason. And it's God's purpose. So if you today would like to turn your life over to Jesus, this is that moment, like Peter had, where he identifies Jesus as his Messiah, as his Savior. You can have that moment too. And that moment is the beginning of a journey. It's a start of a journey where you'll come to know him and trust him more and more and more as he molds and shapes your life into something new. And if you'd like to turn your life over to him today, I'd love to lead you in a simple prayer. It's not a magic prayer. This prayer doesn't save you. Jesus saves you by his death and his blood shed on the cross. And he backed it up by raising again on Easter Sunday. He does all the work of saving you. This prayer just articulates the condition of your heart. It just tells him that you're sorry for opposing his plan. You're sorry for living in a way opposite to what he wants and to what he lives for. And it turns your life over to him, where you just say, I'm yours, Lord. So I'd like to ask everybody to bow your heads with me, and let's just kind of silently pray this prayer together. It goes like this. Dear Heavenly Father, I realize that I'm a sinner. I've broken your heart by breaking your law. God, I'm sorry. I don't want to live that way anymore. I want to live your plan for my life. Thank you for loving me, even though I've been unlovable. Thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place. Lord, as best as I know how, I give myself to you. I turn my life over to you. I'm not going to live my plan anymore. I want to be on your plan from now on. So God, I know I need to change, but I know I can't. So please come into my life, change me, make me new. I'm yours, Lord. I'm never going back, and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Hey, I have great news. On this Easter Sunday, we at least know for sure that 16 people turned their lives over to Jesus. Maybe you've just turned your life over to him as well. Would you let us know so that we can pray for you, so that we can support you, so that we can help you take your next steps in dying to yourself and letting him live his new life through you? Just email us today at hello@orchardlaj.com. That's hello@orchardlaj.com. Let us know of your decision, and we just are here to support you, to help you, and to enable you to take your next steps with Christ. I'm so proud of you, and I hope to talk to you soon.